Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Well, if Lady Luck gets on my side, we're gonna rock this town alive. I'll let her rough me up till she knocks me out. Cause she walks like she talks, and she talks like she walks. And she bangs, oh baby, when she moves.
Morning, everyone. We're here for public forum. Public forum is an opportunity for the public to get up and speak about anything they'd like to discuss.
Well, I put myself last here because I've got a problem, and it's nothing's more acid-causing on my stomach than a problem, and it's a problem that we have amongst our volunteer board members. And what I've been apprised to is on our May 22nd rezoning meeting, we had a member of the zoning board in which who came up here to go against a case, which he did go against the case, and of course it was, I don't want to get too deep into it, but it didn't go his way.
Oh, we are definitely going to get too deep into it. Kerry Smith, County Commission Chairman, District 2, Milton area and east of there, yesterday at the committee meeting for the County Commission, which is kind of like an agenda review if you're new to all of this. Talking about an incident that happened after a zoning board, well, not actually, after the meeting of the county commission that handled the zoning board stuff. And, well, what happened? So the background on this is to see, have context. We learned a little bit later. But you have a lady came and was asking for a zoning permission to build a 90-unit townhouse on Highway 87 in Holly. And originally the zoning board had said no, apparently. And then the Santa Rosa County Commission reversed on the zoning board and allowed it. And the person that he's going to talk about was unhappy about that because apparently he lives right by there and didn't want it to happen. Okay, so, you know, it didn't go his way. And then, well.
And apparently when he left the meeting at that time, the applicant, in which was approved for the rezoning in question, when she was approved, she was verbally accosted by a member of a zoning board, a volunteer zoning board, which I have a problem with. I've got a serious problem with that.
No, he's not operating as a member of the zoning board in a meeting for the Santa Rosa County Commission. He's operating as a citizen, which is certainly his right. But, you know, the allegation is that he harassed her, said mean things to her outside in the lobby after the meeting.
I don't like bullies. I can't stand bullies. And when bullies rear their heads, in which they do a lot in these rezoning meetings, we see it. But when one of those bullies is a member of the zoning board, I've got a real big problem.
Yeah, he's right. The zoning meetings do bring out the worst in everybody because it is the most visceral of the how you interact with your neighbor's problems. You know, if you're not getting enough drama out of Milton, you can just watch a zoning meeting. I mean, he's not wrong about that.
When we have citizens having to come back in and get escorted out to their car because they're scared of a zoning board member, well, there's something we can do about this. So I know this isn't a voting meeting, but this is something that weighs on my heart, and it's been weighing on my heart all weekend, because just to address this has been bothering me. And I'm going to be making a motion come this Thursday, if nothing's been done, to remove this gentleman.
So things get interesting because it's not his appointee. It's Ray Eddington's appointee, and typically they control, appoint, or remove their own appointees.
It's nothing against any member of this board. And I want that to be understood, that there's nothing against any member of this board. I just cannot, I don't understand it. and I'm not going to be in support of this.
So as the chairman, he has maybe some additional power. We're actually going to talk to Brad Baker about this coming up 6:35, whether he even has the ability to do it. But then, as you might have wondered, you're going to wonder, well, who is it and what did he say? Right? That's the ultimate question.
I'm going to tell you the member of the board in which I'm concerned about. His name's Gene Sullivan, Calvin Gene Sullivan. And that's one of your picks, Mr. Commissioner Eddington. And we've had enough proof. We've got enough verbal testimony from people that were right there at the scene.
And?
We've got ways to handle our differences. But for a man to threaten a woman in that form and fashion and have to come back in and get an escort out, That's a bridge too far for me.
Certainly pretty concerning. And Melissa Johnen was the recipient of the accosting or the words or whatever. We'll find more about that in just a second. But how does Ray Eddington respond? I'll tell you after John tells you about the traffic on the fives. John?
Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Make your outdoor space summer ready. Get $50 off new mosquito or fire ant control service. Visit insect.net today. Still no accidents to report to you right now, but if you're on Highway 29, right around 10 Mile Road intersection, I'm seeing some delays in the southbound lane. But other than that, I-10, I-110 are all flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. So it's Ray Eddington's person, this Gene Sullivan, on the board. So what is his response to this?
Well, we was not out in the lobby at all. Hearsay is hearsay. I don't care who you are. I wasn't out there. You wasn't out there. None of us was. Mr. Sullivan said it wasn't him that said that. It was the other guy. And all Mr. Sullivan said was, I got to get your blank out before you get everybody in trouble. And he took the guy out the door. I have to take him at his word.
So he's got to take his guy at his word. Has he talked to anybody else?
All we had out there was builders and people, was here for that lady to put more houses that we didn't want in Holly. We don't have enough land now, and all we want to do is build more houses. And people complaining about we don't want this and stuff.
It's nothing to do about the houses.
That's what it started about. That's what it started about, Mr. Smith. She come up here a year ago, wanted to make a thing, and then she come back another year, want to build houses on top of him. And that's what all happened. He's got the right to come back here before us and give his part, But I'm not going to remove the guy. And y'all can take your votes however y'all want to do it. He's a volunteer. If he want to resign, I'll give him that right. But I will not remove that man from that board.
So kind of an interesting response, doesn't seem to deny the things that were alleged to have been said. And by the way, we'll get a semi-transcript report of what was said here in just a moment. But says, she came up here asking for more houses, and it's kind of implied in his comments are that it's understandable that people get angry about people wanting more houses. Well, it is understandable that people get angry about all kinds of things related to zoning. It's not as understandable to verbally menace somebody else after the meeting to the point where they feel like they've got to go get the deputy to walk them out to their car. That's the part that Carrie's getting on.
Now, y'all got the right to do whatever you want, but I will stick with my guy. I don't ask to take any of your guys off or his or anybody. And, what they do out there in that lobby, I cannot control. It's their right. That's your right. What they do out there, we can't control it.
So it's kind of a free speech defense that even if he did say horrible things to her and cause her to be concerned about her safety, we can't control that. He's in the lobby. He's not a zoning board member at that point. And there's some truth to that. I mean, there is. What people do in their private lives, at a barbecue somewhere, if he was rude to a lady at a barbecue somewhere over zoning matters, would that make Carrie want to kick him off the board, in a meeting as a zoning board member? Clearly problematic. You can understand that. In the lobby after a meeting of the county commissioners, in the parking lot outside the building, not inside the building, maybe none of these distinctions matter. Maybe if you find out that a guy is mean to a woman over a zoning thing, he shouldn't be on the zoning board to begin with, period. But those are all questions, okay? But Ray Eddington seems to be taking the approach of, you know, I don't care what he said. Or, well, he also said that he denied saying it. Although the PNJ does report that they talked to Sullivan and says that he did say it, just that he thinks he said it a little bit differently than how Kerry Smith is going to report it. But, you know, look, it's this is my guy. Leave my guy alone.
If it gets that bad, we don't even do what the zoning board wants us to do. We don't do anything. And now y'all want to throw my man under the bus, kick him off the board. Y'all do what you want. I don't care anymore. It's all about y'all or them. We need to respect the people. We should have been out there in the damn lobby. I'm sorry. I will not remove the man.
It doesn't sound like he's sorry. We should have been out in the damn lobby. What? I think what he means is we can't say what happened since we weren't in the lobby. Well, there's video. Video doesn't have recording, but you can kind of see what happened. And the seeing what happened is where Kerry Smith started after the allegation came in. So Kerry says,
would I just make a motion to push this to Thursday's agenda?
To add it to the agenda, yes.
Okay. You guys will have enough time. I'm sorry that you have not taken the time to interview the people that were involved, but I have. And you're going from that guy's hearsay. So, all right.
Why didn't you do your job and talk to the other side? You only went to that side. The other question on this would be, of course, did Kerry Smith talk to Sullivan? Because, I mean, he's right. You should talk to both sides. And he did not talk to Sullivan. I followed up with him about that. And, you know, he may still. I hope he does. But as I say, the PNJ, Tom McLaughlin, wrote an article, just came out this morning, that confirmed that, you know, he basically said what he said. It's a question of whether the expletives were involved. Colton Wright says, oh, guys.
You've opened a pretty big can of worms here. Just because of the way the dialogue just went, I think to the general public, it is still somewhat unclear. There's a lot of conjecture. Someone said something, and someone says someone didn't say something. But what was said and the facts in the case haven't even been brought out to the public. So I would just say that we make sure that that is either added as part of the backup documentation for Thursday, or that is somehow read into the record, so that if we're going to talk about this Thursday, I think the public and everyone needs to understand what in the world we're talking about. Because right now, that was just the exchange we just had was accusatory on two people's parts, but it was also vague, and I understand why it was vague. But I just feel like there needs to be some clarification before the board takes action on Thursday.
Yeah, I mean, let's basically have the commissioner's report. Let's have the details of what people said they said and what the, you know, what the video shows and all of that. And let's kind of do an investigation of some kind before we vote to kick somebody off the board. That's a fair request. So Kerry Smith says, all right, fine. Here's what happened. You ready? Where do you stand at this point? Like, based only on what you've heard to this point, would you vote to keep or get rid of? Would you defer to Ray Eddington because it's his person? Would you try to force somebody off the board? I actually don't know whether they have the authority to kick him off the board against Ray's advice. Typically, you get to keep your people. Although, typically, also, everybody approves putting somebody there. I just don't know what the rule is on removing somebody. But, okay, so here's the actual rundown of what's alleged to have happened.
When they were going to leave after we had granted the rezoning to Ms. Johnen, Ms. Johnen was leaving with Michael Broker, David Fitzpatrick, and the realtor, which we'll refer to as Barb. I can't remember her last name. We'll get that later. And that was the one that your email was from, because she'd given me the email testimony. When they were leaving,
here it comes.
From their testimony, Gene said, congratulations, and it's a B word. Now you can get your B ass on your pony and get out of town. Then his companion Tony Ash said, yes, that's right, get your bat out of town. Which at that time the applicant turned around and they came in to go get the deputy.
So B words and fat and ass and maybe other things as well, where he's being polite in his account of this. What do you think ought to be done? You know, can somebody stay on the zoning board that after a meeting says those kinds of things to a woman, citizen? I don't like it much. I wonder what would have happened. I don't know if she's married, if her husband had been there, you know, or a guy friend, you know. Bullies aren't usually as much bullies when they're evenly matched up, you know. I was trying to think, what would I have done if somebody had said that to my wife? Well, let me just say, there's a Santa Rosa way of handling things that is different.
Dude, it'd have been on. I'm telling you.
So, yeah, it's not good. It's not good. It's not happy times. Does it? I'll be honest. I really don't know where that line is. Because remember last week we were talking about in Milton, you know, when you had Howard Steele being very accusatory and caustic towards the city council in the city council meetings, and they're talking about kicking him off of his voluntary boards because of his attitude towards the city. And I said, that's free speech, and it is. And he never engaged in personal attack or threatened anybody, which he did not, so it is different. You know, and I said I would defend him. I'm torn. I'll be honest, I'm torn. I don't want somebody like that making decisions. But I also understand that in the heat of people being disappointed and angry, they do stupid things. Now, does he do stupid things a lot? Is this a frequent problem? Is that a simmering thing? Is it anti-female? I mean, all questions I don't have good answers to. And also, is it my person? Now, I am hoping that before the meeting on Thursday, some of this resolves a little bit. Either the evidence becomes clear or Ray changes his mind or something. But, you know, if it were me, I'd pull him off the board. But it's not my guy. Can I tell somebody else to kick him off the board? That's the question. John Pickens has traffic on the fives.
That's right. No accidents to report to you right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are flowing smoothly. Still seeing some delays on Highway 29 just south of 10 Mile Road going southbound. But other than that, traffic is flowing smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
I will say there have been some salty words uttered about the clerk of the court in Escambia County by commissioners back rooms. So, you know, what things are disqualifying or not is apparently a matter of some debate.
As she stared at me through the window, I realized the time we spent in the backyard on her trailer just wasn't fulfilling. We used to have so much fun on the water. I just couldn't crank her up. But Key Marine did. Fun days on the bay are back. And my Yamaha outboard runs better than ever.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. Key Marine, your Yamaha outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola. Google Key Marine or find them on Facebook.
Looking for a stylish way to promote your brand or celebrate a special occasion? Prim and Proper in Gulf Breeze now offers custom hats, a new addition to their lineup of custom and promotional items. From corporate logos to personalized designs, these hats are perfect for businesses, events, team gear, or one-of-a-kind gifts. Prim and Proper is still your go-to for custom engraving and unique gifts. From personalized drinkware to engraved home decor, every item is crafted with care by their in-house experts. Visit primandproper.com for more.
Need an affordable medical clinic?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a walk-in or same-day appointment?
Go to a ProHealth location.
Need a $45 zero copay medical plan?
Go to ProHealthFL.com. ProHealth has always been known for being Pensacola's most trusted and affordable clinic and lab, but now ProHealth offers over 30 affordable ultrasounds too. You never need a doctor's order, and ProHealth allows you to pay with HSA or FSA funds for all their services. You can even schedule yourself at ProHealthFL.com. That's ProHealthFL.com.
Looking for personalized pharmacy care? Pensacola's longest standing independent pharmacy, Jackson Pace Pharmacy, is family owned and operated and has a dedicated team ready to help. The team at Jackson Pace Pharmacy works with your insurance plan, provides affordable cash prices, and expert guidance. Your health is their priority. Have questions? Call 850-478-4450 or stop by and meet the Jacksons and their team. At the intersection of Pine Forest and 9 Mile Road, Jackson Pace Pharmacy, where care meets convenience.
Get the midday news live with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, 11 to 2, before Guy Benson on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
629 News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, Health and Human Services Secretary Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is purging all current members from the CDC Vaccine Advisory Committee. He made that announcement yesterday, saying the 17-member group is plagued with conflicts of interest. The committee members advised the CDC on vaccine schedule and required coverage of immunizations. Those being let go will be replaced with new members. In Memphis, community leaders are pushing to block Elon Musk's X AI project over concerns about air pollution from planned gas turbines. At a press conference on Monday, State Representative Justin Pearson and the NAACP urged city officials to deny the company's air permit. Critics say it risks public health. But the mayor of Memphis, Paul Young, still supports the investment in the project.
By the way, did you catch that part of the Trump-Musk feud was Trump threatening to shut down X? That was a part of, like, everybody's throwing everything they've got against the wall in this either horrible, terrible, real feud or really hilarious fake feud.
Fox News. I'm Chris Foster. President Trump mobilizes 700 Marines and doubles to 4,000 the number of National Guard troops in Los Angeles to help deal with immigration raid protests. Governor Gavin Newsom says the president is abusing his power.
Newsom called the move a blatant abuse of power, saying California will sue. Newsom has already sued against the federalization of the first 2,000 National Guard troops. But the president has called Newsom incompetent.
Fox's Madeline Rivera. At least 9 people, including the gunman, are reported killed in a high school shooting in Austria.
A police spokesman telling reporters that the gunman's believed to have taken his own life, shooting himself dead inside a school toilet. The injured have been taken to a nearby event center for treatment. Graz is Austria's second largest city.
Fox's Jonathan Savage. A teaching assistant in France is stabbed to death by a 15-year-old student during a bag check. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. Right now we've got cloudy skies, 71 degrees here in Pensacola. Last week, Florida's Osceola County Sheriff was arrested on charges of racketeering for allegedly running an illegal casino. Santa Rosa County Sheriff Bob Johnson says he knows Sheriff Marcos Lopez. And while that news did take him by surprise, FDLE wouldn't have made the arrest if they didn't have solid evidence.
They paid the sheriffs very well in Florida, and here you are. You swear to uphold the law, and you're the one at the very top of the organization, and you're breaking it. What an idiot. I mean, I got nothing. And that makes everybody look bad.
And Johnson says that Santa Rosa County sheriffs have been arrested in the past, and when that happens, it kills the morale of the entire agency. He says because of Lopez's choice to break the law, deputies in Osceola County will now likely face accusations from the public of being crooks despite doing nothing wrong. Police in Fort Walton Beach say a 36-year-old man was arrested after causing a disturbance outside of a church with a BB gun, and he apparently had 3 kids in his car when it all happened. Police responded to the Destiny Worship Center in Fort Walton Beach on Sunday after security reported a man revving his engine, doing burnouts, and acting erratically. Security officers say the man displayed what looked like an AR-15 rifle when he was asked to leave the parking lot. Once police got there, they say the suspect, identified as Salvador Castro Martinez, was taken into custody without further incident. Officers say there were 3 toddler-aged children in the back seat of the vehicle. Castro Martinez is being held in the Okaloosa County Jail without bond on charges including aggravated assault, child abuse, and improper exhibition of a weapon. Governor Ron DeSantis says he thinks the protests in California might drive more people to move to Florida. He was on Fox News yesterday to discuss the anti-ICE protests in Los Angeles, and he says that Mayor Karen Bass and Governor Gavin Newsom are failing their people. He says he thinks California will continue to lose residents who want to feel safe in their communities. Ashley Moody pushing a bill that would make it easier to remove illegal immigrants. Senator Moody and other Republicans announced yesterday they've introduced the Remove Act, which calls for removal proceedings to be concluded within 15 days after they begin. Moody says the legislation is critical to allow for the prompt removal of illegal aliens who've already been ordered to be removed. And protests are spreading to other cities across the nation. An anti-ICE protest was held yesterday in Tampa at their city hall. Counter-protesters were also out, and apparently things did get a bit physical there for a little bit between the protesters and supporters of President Trump when they were pushing and shoving each other. It is 6:35 at News Radio 92.3, and John Pickens has our traffic on the fives.
That's right. Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110 are still flowing smoothly. Just seeing some minor delays on 98 just west of Windhaven Beach in the eastbound lane. But other than that, we are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with meteorologist Brooke Richardson.
We are going to be seeing a chance of some showers and thunderstorms as we head into your afternoon and evening. High today near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 74. For Wednesday, 60% chance of showers and thunderstorms, high near 88. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 76. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
Thanks, Brooke. 71 degrees right now. Your next news at 7. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, and dependable. Now getting a look at our market report from Your Money Now.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields slipped this morning as U.S. and Chinese officials resumed trade negotiations in London for a second day. The 10-year Treasury yield was down almost 3 basis points to 4.456%. The 2-year yield slipped around 1 basis point to 3.993%. French AI firm and Microsoft-backed company Mistral will release its first reasoning model today, taking on the likes of OpenAI and China's DeepSeek. CEO Arthur Mensch said Mistral's new Magistral model specializes in reasoning in European languages. Amazon said it will spend $20 billion on 2 data center complexes in Pennsylvania. Governor Josh Shapiro called it the largest private sector investment in Pennsylvania's history, saying this is just the beginning because his administration is working with Amazon on additional data center projects in the state. Futures are slightly lower. Monday, the Dow Industrials lost 1, the NASDAQ up 61, the S&P 500 up 5. That's Your Money Now.
$5,000. That's the average amount of money people in the U.S. are now spending on gas in a year. $5,000. That's crazy. If you drive, you have to download Upside, the free app that gives you cash back every time you get gas. That's right. You can earn real cash back with Upside just by buying the gas you're already buying. You can literally start earning cash back today.
I use Upside every time I fill up, and I've already made around $200-$300.
You're putting gas in your car anyway. Why not get real cash back? If you like free money, download Upside.
I'm saving the cash I earn from using Upside to help pay for a vacation later this year.
Download the free Upside app now to earn cash back every time you buy gas. Use promo code EARN to get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank. You can cash out anytime right to your bank, PayPal, or a gift card for Amazon and other brands. Just download the free Upside app and use promo code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first tank. That's code EARN for a 25 cents per gallon bonus.
Frustrated with your health insurance? This is Mark Fox, president of CBG. Whether you're a business executive or just trying to afford your next doctor visit, CBG has solutions tailored for you. Our proven strategies can help you flip the script on the insurance companies and healthcare providers. You deserve cost savings and a smarter health plan that works for you. Don't settle for one-size-fits-all insurance. Discover how CBG can protect your people, your family, and your bottom line. Visit cbghealthplan.com.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services, advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction Wednesday at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more, on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Ready for intelligent and thought-provoking conversation? Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola. Weekdays from 2 till 4 p.m. on 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. Guy Benson, the brilliant and charismatic host, brings you a fresh perspective on the biggest stories of the day. Guy keeps you engaged and informed. Don't miss out on the intellectual thrill ride. Tune in to The Guy Benson Show on News Radio Pensacola from 2 till 4 p.m. It's the show that'll challenge your thinking and leave you wanting more. On News Radio Pensacola.
Morning, 640 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Brad Baker, Santa Rosa County Administrator Brad Baker. Brad, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Hey, thank you, Andrew, and good morning.
Good morning. So a completely drama-free meeting yesterday, as always. Joke. First question for you. All of this business about whether Gene Sullivan will or will not be retained as a member of the zoning board, I just want to know the rule because I didn't know the rule and I knew you would know the rule. If Ray Eddington appoints him, does Ray Eddington, is he the only one who can remove him? Is it a majority board vote to remove him?
It is the majority.
Okay.
Yeah, so when each commissioner has their appointees on to the different various volunteer boards, and they have to be ratified by the group.
Right.
So there's a vote to ratify them, and then if someone wants to remove them, the same thing. It has to. I mean, obviously, the appointee can just change them out and bring the new appointee back to the board. But in this situation, you know, the board could remove them if it's a majority vote of the board.
Got it. Okay. And you said it there. I just want to clarify. If Ray decided that he wanted to remove him, he could do that on his own accord because each commissioner basically controls his delegates, right?
That is correct. Now, the new person they want to appoint would then come back to the board.
Right,
as
right.
Well, so.
Okay, perfect.
And that happens typically, you know, a new commissioner comes in and they want to replace and reset. It'll go through that same process.
Okay, that's what I thought. I just wanted to make sure. And also, there's no supermajority requirement for removing against the objection of a fellow commissioner. It's just a straight 3-vote is enough to do it, right?
Correct.
Okay, because that kind of makes sense to me, too, that it should take 4, you know, because it's against the will of the county commissioner. But, you know, that's a detail for later. I was more just curious what the actual rule was. So have you guys, I mean, I don't know, has the county done investigation around this or is it just Commissioner Smith that's looked into this? Where does the kind of the fact report stand?
So we were asked by the Commissioner Smith to look into it, and we pulled the video. Of course, we don't have audio on that
right.
particular set of cameras that come out into that area that they were in. Obviously, you can see some interaction going back and forth, but there's no audio on that. But we were not asked to go interview people or anything like that. I mean, that's really, in my opinion, a commissioner function if that's what they want to do.
Got it. Okay. All right. And also, that's what I figured, but I just wanted to make sure we were there. Big rains overnight into yesterday morning and again last night. Gosh, what? Like, Ryan Jenkins told me it was 10 inches where he was at. You said 7 to 9 in the meeting yesterday. Several roads had been closed, and we got more rain yesterday, which is not great. Where are the roads at right now? What's the flooding like in Santa Rosa County?
So it's primarily in the very north end of the county, and we do have several, you know, we have some small bridges up there with creeks that are very much subject to flash flooding. Probably with the rain last night, we might have one more. I did ride around a little bit last night, and we have one bridge that it is literally to the bottom of the bridge. So, you know, it could very well go over the road and we'll have to close that. And that's Wagner Bridge on Spring Hill. But we do we had a couple roads that sustained some substantial damage. It'll take us a couple of days to repair one and probably a couple of weeks for the other one. However, there is, you know, a way around both ends. It's just kind of the middle got washed out. But it was interesting because I think you know that I live in Allentown. And we got 1 inch of rain, and literally 4 miles north of me, they got 9 inches of rain.
Ugh.
So, I mean, that's a substantial difference in a very short period, just the way that storm cell just trained across that northern area of our county.
No doubt. It's similar to the way like a tornado just cuts a path right here and then a street over. Nobody felt anything but some strong wind and got some rain. You know, I get it. And this became a part of the conversation over the NOAA Atlas 14 changes that I know the commissioners have taken a kind of a different approach on now. And I appreciate that because, you know, rainfall in one area doesn't necessarily translate to rainfall everywhere. And then as far as flooding goes, and I know we've had this ongoing question about runoff, like in Mulat Bayou. Do we know anything? Have we had people out to check on any of that stuff?
Well, the areas that the heavy rain was in were not those problem areas.
Oh, that makes sense now that I think about it. Yeah,
so,
you're right.
I mean, it's up in the two basins that this would affect would be the upper Blackwater River where cold water comes in and the Escambia River basin. So.
All right, very good. We're talking to Brad Baker. He is the Santa Rosa County Administrator. Brad, hang on for just a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
That's right. Rolling accident-free right now. Looks like I-10, I-110, 98, and Highway 90 are all looking good. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, John. What I think is a very, very big deal, what I was surprised it was like almost no conversation about it at all yesterday, is that there are three taxing elements, or maybe four. I guess there's four because there's the MSBU for fire there was quite a bit of conversation around as the fire chiefs came and talked. But then you have the MSBU for stormwater and two MSTUs, which is a property tax issue, for public safety and for roadway improvements. And I read the ordinances, the public hearing around the ordinances, and it says up to 10 mils for public safety, up to 10 mils for roadway improvements, plus the two MSBUs, so that's 20 mils. The whole county is just under 6 mils. So what's going on here, Brad? I'm sure I didn't understand this properly, but it seems like a massive amount of latitude being given to the board, but this wouldn't actually set the rates, right?
No, it would not. It is literally just establishing an ordinance. During our budget workshops previously this year and last year, the board had asked for different ways to either improve our transparency or to diversify our revenues. So the first two, the MSTUs, are just that. They're more of a transparency thing. We have one that was established in 2018 that the board has directed us to utilize this year, and that's a law enforcement MSTU. And with everything going on at the state, you know, when they ask us for information for this Florida Doge thing that's going on, they were looking for areas that we have dedicated property tax funding, things such as law enforcement, public safety, et cetera. So this is a way that we can show it on the trim notice so every citizen knows, hey, this much is going to our law enforcement. This much is going to the other public safety. Now, the roadway, that was a new one that come up, and they wanted to have a tool that if they so choose to use it, they could apply that the tax dollars generated to that would have to go to roadway improvement so that we kind of transparency with the response back from our local option sales tax. Some of the reason why people said they didn't vote on it, we're trying to give the tools out there to answer those questions. So transparency and tools in the toolbox is really what those three are about.
Okay.
The stormwater MSBU one.
Yeah. I just want to re-say it my way and clarify, and just, I want to make sure people know what's going on. First of all, I thought I heard you say that there was already a law enforcement MSTU in place, but it's a zero value at the moment. Is that right?
That is correct. It was established in 2018.
Okay. So you have these different funding pots, like lockboxes, basically, that you're wanting. Either one has created for law enforcement, two are being considered to be created, one for public safety, non-law enforcement, and then the other one for roads. And so there's going to be basically you're going to look at the budget and you're going to figure out, well, how much money do we actually need for law enforcement? How much do we need for public safety? How much do we need for roads? We're going to assign a millage rate to achieve that result, and then funds will go directly into only those categories. And I am assuming, you and I have talked about this before, that there will be an equivalent reduction in overall millage so that it's not a tax increase, it's just a tax clarification. So people will have these three things, will have a number attached to them, and then the overall millage will be reduced by the same amount. At least that's the plan at the moment. Is that correct?
That's correct. Now, the only one that we don't have that plan on is the roadway improvement.
Oh,
we're
okay.
Giving the board a tool that if they want to put more money toward capital, if they're hearing from the citizens that we want road improvements, that's our priority. This is a tool for them to use. But we are basing, you know, obviously we have a budget workshop on June the 23rd, and that's when the board will give us the final direction. But the scenarios we are working with right now is to not do a millage increase unless the board chooses. One would be either the law enforcement MSPU, depending on what the sheriff needs are, or the roadway improvement if they want to dedicate more funds to roadway improvements.
Okay, so again,
but the plan right now is to come with a balanced budget with no millage increase.
Again, unless there's a need or they believe there's a need to increase it for the roads particularly, or as you say, law enforcement based on what the sheriff has for. So if people want to prevent the county from having the ability to apply these MSTUs, then they want to come and talk on Thursday. If they are fine with having the ability, but they want to discuss the rate being set and whether there should be a property tax increase for roads or not, that would be the June 23rd meeting. Is that right?
That's correct. We have a budget workshop at 1 o'clock. The board will be directing us what to utilize to bring them a balanced budget back in July.
Okay. All right. That makes sense. And that's what I wanted to do. I wanted to clarify all that for people because I think a lot of folks didn't even realize there was this on the agenda. They might misunderstand it. It's easy to misunderstand. And also they might care quite a bit about the prospect of an increased tax for, you know, for example, for roads. One other thing that was on the agenda yesterday, a graffiti ordinance. You guys didn't talk much about it in detail. When I read the ordinance, it made it sound to me like it was an effort to try to clean up graffiti by requiring people to clean it up. And if they don't, the county will do it and the county will charge them for cleanup. Is that right?
That is correct. And we have a couple of buildings. We don't have a lot, but we do have a couple that are in key areas of our county that we just don't have the ability. So we were asked to craft an ordinance. The county attorney did that, and it basically, you know, we'll notify them of the violation, give them 30 days to fix it, go through our process, then we will have the ability to go clean it up and bill them for the cost of the cleanup. If they fail to do that, then we can place a lien on their property. Similar to what we do when we abate a property, if we have to go in and tear down a house, we'll then put the lien on it and the amount of what it cost us to clean up the house.
Okay, so this is basically adding graffiti as a part of the allowable abatement or, you know, forced abatement or whatever that the county can do. Because, look, I know we all have seen houses or old car washes or, you know, whatever, places that get abandoned and then they become graffiti and they become eyesores, and what can you do? And that's what you're trying to do here. Okay, that makes sense. Last thing, and only because it's, again, one of the big discussion points yesterday, I'm sure on Thursday as well, the fire MSBU and then the stormwater MSBU. The fire is specific, $35 a year, $37 a year, something like $3 a month for individuals and then businesses also. What's the stormwater one? What are you looking at there? I know it's only the 10%. What is the stormwater one going to be?
Yeah, so we had been tasked, and this goes back to last year as well, to come up with ways to increase our service and look for alternative funding sources to where it's not a countywide taxing, that it affects the area that we're actually providing a benefit to. So mm-hmm. This is I call it phase one of the stormwater. You know, I believe Escambia has a countywide stormwater. This would allow us to do increased pond maintenances in those subdivisions that were selected. You know, we get to ponds, We try to get them every 2 or 3 years, but with our staffing level, sometimes that doesn't happen. We end up spending more on, you know, people are calling for problems and all. So this will give us an avenue. We're bidding it out now. We'll take whatever that bid was, divide it by the parcels that's affected by that, and then apply it. So if you live in one of those subdivisions, there'll be an increase. And it, what it'll do, it'll get you pond maintenance done, cutting of the ponds, trash pickup, et cetera, 4 times a year. I believe trash pickup is every month, the way they did it out, inspections of the pond on a regular basis, et cetera. So it's increasing the level of service. And what we're trying to do is not hire additional people, because when we start hiring people, that's longer recurring costs, drives it up. So we're trying to contract services to see how that would work.
And if people want to,
another tool to,
yeah, I was just going to say, if people want to know where it is, if you go on the Santa Rosa County Commission, you know, you can find the backup material. It actually shows you which subdivisions are included in the preliminary list, both North End and South End. I know you don't have a dollar amount on here, but I assume that that's going to come later, as you said, based on finding out the cost and then dividing it by the number of homes. But that would be an MSBU, which is because it goes to the property value. It can be a per unit instead of a based on property tax, as you've explained in the past. So lots of taxing issues that are on the agenda, and I wanted to make sure people know about this, because for some people, this is the first they're hearing of it. And that's why I wanted to just, you know, people may be in agreement, they may be not in agreement, but we want them to know, because that's what government requires. Brad Baker, thanks so much, as always, for the time. Lots of stuff to cover today. I appreciate it, and we'll look forward to talking to you again soon.
All right. Thanks, Andrew. Y'all have a good day.
Absolutely. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. Looking at I-10, I-110, they are looking good. Highway 90 and 98 are actually flowing very smoothly. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
And if you have questions about this, text me, because I know it's a lot we just covered real fast, but there's a lot of possible tax-related issues that are on the agenda for not only this Thursday, but for coming meetings in the Santa Rosa County Commission.
Hurricane season is here. It's time to make sure your Generac generator is in tip-top shape. Call White Sands Electric today to schedule maintenance of your generator. With 5 certified Generac technicians on staff, they will make sure your generator is ready when you need it.
Need a new unit or a replacement?
Remember, White Sands never charges a deposit, so you never spend a dime until your generator is on your property. White Sands Electric is a full-service electrical contractor. Call 850-433-6080 for all your electrical needs.
June 13th through June 29th, Pensacola Little Theater presents Camelot, a timeless musical that transports audiences to the legendary kingdom of King Arthur, his beloved Queen Guinevere, and the valiant Knights of the Round Table. Filled with romance, chivalry, and the pursuit of an idealized society, the story explores themes of honor, betrayal, and the struggle to maintain peace in a world rife with conflict. Secure your tickets for this show online at PensacolaLittleTheater.com or at the PLT box office.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola this Friday at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Dr. Rebecca Gibbons will be here to answer your questions about the many benefits of acupuncture. If you suffer from chronic back pain, neuropathy, or joint pain, or even stress and anxiety, this is a show you will not want to miss. This Friday at 9, with Acupuncture and Wellness of Pensacola on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When breaking news hits, we're there to cover it. Fox News, WER-TV, News Radio team on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
What is that?
It's an Oldsmobile Silhouette.
I ordered a Cadillac.
Oh, well, yeah, that's a Cadillac of minivans.
Are you kidding me?
Yet somehow, Chili Palmer managed to make the Cadillac minivans cool. 6:58 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, Andrew. In Los Angeles, again, this seems to be dominating all of the headlines this week, but Mayor Karen Bass says that National Guard troops in her city are just guarding federal buildings at this time. She commented yesterday she's continuing to express some frustration about troops being sent into L.A. amid the protests.
My conversations with the administration was before the deployment of the National Guard. I was trying to make the case that the National Guard was not needed here.
And she believes that the federal intervention is causing more chaos in the city. Of course, we learned yesterday, too, 700 Marines and another 2,000 National Guard troops.
Yeah, and unless there are ways to deploy the Marines in general for, you know, basically if you declare an emergency or an insurrection. But without declaring that broadly, he can only deploy them to be used around those buildings to protect those buildings. That's within the scope of the law. And I know for some people that might come as a surprise because you think, well, the Posse Comitatus Act. Well, actually, this is allowed, again, only to defend those federal buildings.
Local talk.